This week on Retronauts, that right there, that's Evilus's ass. Risk Breakers, and welcome to Retronauts. I'm your host, extremely polygonal wyvern Nadia Oxford. This week, we're talking about one of the stranger games from Square Enix's more experimental days, Vagrant Story, which is a quarter of a century old this year, oh god help me. Joining me for this underground game in more ways than one are two guests. One is a regular guest, and the other is a special guest. Just kidding, they're both special, but let's start with the specialist. I have with me veteran translator and localizer Alexander O. Smith, the man behind Vagrant Story's quote-unquote biblical dialogue, and one of the reasons why, in my opinion, Evilus feels like one of the most well-developed, comprehensive Final Fantasy settings outside of Final Fantasy XIV, which also has its own kind of well-developed, comprehensive Evilus of its own, but I digress. Hi, Alexander. Thank you so much for coming.
Hi, Nadia. Thanks for having me on. And please, call me Alex.
Alex. My nephew is named Alex, so there you go.
Sweet.
My other guest is likewise special, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart, but it's not really in a, you know, it's your brother's birthday, so you get a present two-way, Jeremy Parrish. Just kidding, I love you.
So I've been downgraded from host to guest on my own podcast. That's very interesting, Nadia. Thank you.
Oh, you're very
Alex,
welcome.
It's good to see you. I don't think I've actually seen you face-to-face since... one of those TGS parties where Chris Kohler introduced us specifically because you're like a foot and a half taller than me, and he thought it was very funny to see us standing next to each other.
Yeah,
because that's the kind of person that Chris Kohler is.
Yeah.
How tall are you, Alex?
That is an excellent question. I am 6'9".
Jesus Christ.
And I am not.
You are not, but you are tall to me, Parrish. I look like I'm 5'0", so I'm always looking up at Parrish. I'm looking at everyone when I meet them.
Fair enough.
So I really got to stand beside you so Chris Kohler can laugh. So, Alex, of course, you've been a translator, localizer, writer for a very long time. Why don't you run us through your history? Like, why did you start to get into translations and localizations and whatnot?
Oh, boy. I did the first translation I ever did was actually from Old English in an Old English class in college, in undergrad. I was already taking Japanese at the time, but that was the first like actual sort of time that I sat down to do a translation of something substantive. And the first time I worked, I got paid to do translation would have been on, I did a year in Hawaii.
Oh, sweet.
Before grad school, between university and grad school. And I was working for KIKU Television, which is the local Japanese language, Japanese culture TV station. I don't know if it's still going. It might be. But I did subtitling for them.
Oh, sweet.
So that was some of my first, that was my first professional work doing subtitling for some, as they're called, home dramas, like soap operas, and a couple news programs. And yeah, it was good fun. No scripts. I had to plug in the VHS tape and watch it over and over and over again. I actually saw one of the actors, I was at a restaurant and I saw one of the actors from one of the first dramas that I translated. I'm like, oh, I know this guy. Like, I didn't think he was famous. I just thought like I knew him, like we'd hung out or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then my wife started kicking me out of the table and like saying, you can't talk to him. You're not allowed to talk to him because she didn't want me to bug him. And as soon as she said that, I'm like, oh, I totally know who this is. And I had to stare at his face for hours and hours and hours as a young and tender, impressionable person.
So, that makes a lot of sense. It's interesting that you didn't get into it through video games, which a lot of people our age said, oh, heck, I love video games. These Japanese video games aren't coming to North America ever, so I must learn how to speak Japanese. But were you, like, did you major in Japanese or any other kind of language?
Yeah, I was a Japanese major in undergrad and ended up going to grad school for Japanese literature and bailed out of that. Mm-hmm. That was when I went into to work for Square. It was in the grad program. I was in a PhD program for about 2 years. And wow. they threw a master's at me on the way out.
Take this and get out.
Yeah, basically.
And, but you started with... Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, but you started with the Old English translation?
Yeah. It was just, kind of random factoid, really. But I took an Old English class, and that's my first year in undergrad.
And we had to memorize the opening portion of the Canterbury Tales in high school and recite it.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
That was enough to make me say, you know, I'm going to stick with the modern version. It's fine.
Yeah. Well, this is, that's Middle English.
Yeah.
So y'all had it easy.
I had the Shakespeare books that said, this is what they're really saying on the other side.
Right. Although actually on the topic of Middle English, it's worth noting that Rich Amtower, the editor on Vagrant Story, has a degree in Middle English. I think that was his field of study. And he also got a master's in English literature specifically Middle English.
Put that to good use in the game we're going to be talking about, that's for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
I was just wondering if you were interested, like what particularly made you interested in Japanese at the time to study that?
I didn't have a really good reason. I was in China in high school through – that's a whole nother long story. But I was in China in high school for a few months, and that really kind of kicked me off into learning languages and specifically sort of Asian languages. And I was like, oh, what's up with Korean? What's up with Japanese? And thought that Japanese was cooler. The reason for this, I was 18 at the time, so I didn't need like a really great reason. But my reason was I didn't like the way that Chinese had to deal with foreign loanwords. They basically use the kanji or the Chinese characters to represent the sounds of the foreign loanword. And that just felt really inelegant to me. And then I saw, like, I was actually on an airline menu. Reading the menu, I saw that Japanese was using these other weird characters, kind of like really simplified syllabary to represent the foreign loanwords. I don't know whether I looked this up or whether I figured it out by just kind of like sussed it out by looking at the menu. But I'm like, oh, that's cool. Like they've done something for this. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, fast forward to whatever, 20, how long has it been? It's been a while.
just a few
30
years.
Something years later. Yeah.
Yeah. How did you get into video games then? Have you always been a fan?
I have always been a fan of games. I played my share of video games like Wizardry and usually PC and Mac games when I was a kid. I didn't have – my parents never got me a console. I played Zelda at a friend's house, but I never really had – I didn't have my own game machine. So it was mostly just whatever I could run on the Apple and then the Mac and then on friends' PCs. So a lot of the kind of classic Western RPGs and stuff I played.
Yeah. I was going to say, Apple II has some great ones.
Yeah. But I spent much more time actually playing stuff like D&D, like real, with real people. So, yeah, I was a huge fan of gaming. I wasn't like a huge fan of video games to the extent that I had no awareness of the Japanese import scene. I had never played a Final Fantasy game when I applied for the job at Square. I did go out and borrow somebody's PlayStation and play Final Fantasy VII before going to the interview because I figured I should know something about what I was interviewing for. And, and I saw that. And then, at the time I was like, oh, okay, well, this feels like something that I could probably handle. So,
it
gave me the confidence to go out for the interview and such. Yeah.
And Bob's your uncle, as they say.
Indeed they do.
This has been a preview of a patron-exclusive Retronauts episode. If you enjoy what you've heard so far, the great news is that you can hear the rest of this episode by going to patreon.com/retronauts and subscribing to the show at the $5 a month or higher levels. Not only will you be able to hear this full episode, but you'll have instant access to hundreds of other podcasts, mini columns, and more. It's the best deal in internet entertainment. Patreon.com/Retronauts. Thanks for your support.